We have missionaries in Kosovo, and they have been back here giving birth to a child, to their third child. But I, before they go back, in another couple of weeks, they're going to be going back, and I wanted Nate Miranda to come up and to share briefly about what has been happening in Kosovo. We support them, and we believe in them, and we're excited about the mission and the purpose God has for them. They're a part of a church there, and I just want them to explain all of what's happening, and so that you all know who they are, and they can also greet you. So where are you guys? Come on up here. Where's the rest of the, oh, they're up in the nursery, right?
The littlest one's here.
Oh, well, let's Cassie. Bring them up here. Bring one of them.
Okay.
Oh, that's the littlest one right there, huh? Oh, just, you, this is the gift you got when you came here,
yes.
Huh? Back to you. I can, you don't have to hold her the whole time up there.
Okay.
There it is. Woohoo! Awesome. Here, I'll take her and then you guys can give the announcement.
Great, wonderful. All right, thank you, Pastor Phil. So we just would like to share a few nuggets to kind of give a synopsis of some things, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And who we are, of course. So yes, I'm Nathan, my wife Miranda. We have three wonderful daughters now. Elena, who's 4, Stella, who's 2, and Talia, who is 2 months. We actually were both born here in Pullman. Our parents were attenders of Living Faith Fellowship as we were kids. And I grew up here most of my life here in Pullman, here at this church. And so, if you may know the last name Troll, there are some other people here. That same last name, they are my family. And my wife Miranda, she was in Italy with her family, with doing missions work there as well, and came back for university. So we were here at Washington State University, students, and really grew up spiritually in this house.
Yeah, we definitely like received so much from this house. We were here for years. We got training, discipleship, teaching. We pretty much took every class you can take and had dozens of people invest in us. And so what we're doing now is definitely an extension of this house. And we are so grateful for all of the teaching and the training and the mentoring, the support, everything that this body has provided to who we are. And we definitely take that. To Kosovo. So you all are in Kosovo through us in a lot of ways. And so we're so grateful for all of that.
Yeah. So we've been given so much. And so now we're able to be in a place where people need to receive a lot. And we have so much to give. And so where are we? Yes, we're in the country of Kosovo, which is, you know, southeastern Europe. As we would say, it's kind of where the Europe ends and the Middle East begins. So a real melting of different cultures and people.
It's a really interesting place culturally because there's the Western influence, but then there's the Eastern influence. And so if any of you know anything about Turkey, it's kind of like Turkey. It's kind of Western, and a lot of people dress very Western. They learn English, they drive cars, you know, all those kinds of things. But there's a lot of Eastern influence. The father of the family is the most father or grandfather. The oldest living male is the most important person in the family, and what he says kind of dictates what the rest of the family does, those kinds of things. So it's a very interesting place.
Yeah. The majority of people that are there, about 95% of people in Kosovo are ethnically Albanian. So they're Albanian people, and the local language that we've been learning is Albanian. And but the people, as a they are religiously, they're 95% Muslim, and some Catholic. So you know, as a people group, they're very unreached with the gospel, that there have not been that many churches planted. There's about 1,000 believers there in the country, about 2 million people. And so there's a lot to be done. I mean, you know, there's 7 billion people, you know, in the world, and there's about 3 billion people that don't have a local church or there's no one they could talk to if they wanted to respond to the gospel, if they wanted to know more about Jesus. There really aren't people there to assist them.
Kosovo was one of those places. So with about 1,000 believers, give or take, in the whole country, everybody kind of knows everybody. Like, oh, yeah, you're a Christian too, because there's not that many. So everyone is pretty much Muslim, and it depends on the family how practicing Muslim everyone is. Like I said, the father or grandfather kind of dictates what the family does. So you have everything from very Western dress to the full burqa culturally. And, you know, as far as who can marry who and all of that is dictated by the family, generally speaking, and things like that. So there's really the whole spectrum, but everybody kind of identifies, everybody, 95% about, identifies as Muslim. And that means basically... I am Muslim because my family's Muslim. It's not like in the States where a lot of times you can choose who you want to be and your belief system and those kinds of things. In Kosovo, people don't really see it that way. You don't really choose a set of beliefs. You are Muslim because you're born into it. You're born into that's what your family is. And so, yeah.
Her identity. And so people are usually curious, how freely can we share the gospel? How freely can we live our lives and share our faith and things? So there's really no hindrance to us to be able to share what we believe, because Kosovo is a secular state. There's a lot of religious freedom. But on the receiving end, people do have a lot of social stigma that they have to overcome. There's a lot of risks people will have to associate with believers or be part of a youth group or that sort of thing. So because they'd be rejecting their family identity. And so it's a big process for people to move towards Jesus, but we don't have any hindrance for us being able to give Jesus. So that's a little bit how it is.
Yeah. We can definitely talk about Jesus, and we do, like with our neighbors and community, as God gives us the grace to do so. But if people want to associate with the church or choose to follow Christ, there can be a lot of repercussions from their family, because everything that you do in society is tied to your family. You get a job because your uncle's sister's wife can give you a job. You get married because there's a third cousin once removed who, you know, like that. That's how you live life. That's how you achieve your major milestones in life. And so if you're disassociated from the family, if the family kicks you out basically because you've chosen a different belief system, then all of your prospects in life are shot. It's not just you have to find a new place to live. It's who am I going to be and what am I going to do with my life? Because I have no connections now. So it's a big choice for people. So the people that have chosen to follow Christ have really, as Scripture says, counted the cost and chosen to follow Christ, which is a really, really beautiful thing, because God can do so much with a heart that's fully given to Him. So it's really beautiful to see what God is already doing. Those who have chosen Christ, who have believed, there are pockets of small churches. They range from probably 10 to 25 people on average, the churches in Kosovo. But what God is already doing is really beautiful, and we get to kind of come in and support what God is doing, see what He's already done. In some ways, it's really neat, because most people in Kosovo are first-generation Christian. The gospel hasn't been there in waves very long, and so there's no real concept yet of discipleship. There's no model for how do you have a Christian marriage? How do you raise children to know the Lord? There's not models for that. And so we're really blessed. We're young, but we're really, really blessed to have been given so much from this house, because we're there learning and growing in our relationship with Jesus, learning and growing in what it means to be established in the Word and to represent Christ in all aspects of our relationship to each other, to other people, to our children. And we get to model that for people. And which is a huge blessing and privilege and responsibility. And so we're grateful for all that's been invested in us to be able to do that.
So while we're there, there's a lot to be done. So even on the natural side of things, economically, Kosovo is the poorest country in Europe as well. So both from a natural and a spiritual standpoint, there's a lot that anybody can do. I mean, any of you could go there and have a wonderful impact and a role to play. So
yeah, the average wage is about $250 a month is what people make. So people are able to survive because they have relatives abroad who send money home to buy groceries, to pay bills, and they usually own their family home because they live generationally all together. So that's how people survive.
Yeah. But so, you know, what are we about, like, more specifically? Our mission there in Kosovo is to be making known the glory of God, build the kingdom of Jesus, and to advance Christian discipleship, like real discipleship in people's lives, and also to empower people through education and business to impact their communities on a natural level, you know, with business and a healthy family and things. So in our local church, which in Albanian would be called Kisha Rilindia e Kosovës, which is Rebirth Church of Kosovo, or Rebirth Church for short. So, and there we are, we have responsibility for the children's ministry, Saturday meetings, and really, like Marina said, helping the second generation come up with real knowledge of the Lord, understanding of the Bible, and really their place in the kingdom of God.
So there are other things, various things we do in the church, but we don't need to list everything, crew and blah, blah, blah. We're involved in a local church helping to support what God is doing there. And the pastor is, he's a local guy, with his wife and family. And so it's neat to be a part of what God is doing kind of organically there. It's a huge learning curve. Culturally, there are a lot of things sometimes we don't quite get. But the kingdom of God is the same everywhere. And so that's...
And in the community, God has opened different doors. For me personally, I'm able to volunteer part-time throughout the year working at a youth technology center, kind of called a makerspace of sorts. And so I'm able to mentor projects and teach some classes and manage projects as they're kind of given to me. And so we had a year-long project where I was helping three teenage boys and three teenage girls to do an electric car conversion project. And so we were able to take a normal vehicle and make it electric. So that was a really cool project and was a real way to have a tangible impact and have the community really appreciative of launching some of these young people into the 21st century, into their growth, and really owning their potential.
It was actually a really big deal, the project, on a national scale, because this kind of thing had never been done before, especially not to teenagers. There's just not a lot of education that's provided to young people. And so the goal of the center is kind of a lot of what our heart is naturally for the people, to give young people tools and resources and even the concept that you can do something and you can go somewhere and you can achieve something in life, because these young people have no hope. There's no jobs. They could get an education. They couldn't do anything with it. So giving them resources to be successful, to have business, to have income for their families, like, this is a big deal. And so this youth center is really cool that God has opened some doors here. But this project particularly, they asked Nathan, they're like, hey, we're about to do our biggest project to date. Do you want to manage it? And we were like, because Nathan is a civil engineer, you know, he reads a lot. So he knows a lot of things about mechanical engineering and other things related to this project were not necessarily his forte. But God had kind of said, you know, there might be things that come along that you don't know how to do. Just jump in and learn, which he's really good at. Praise God. So he just kind of jumped in and learned along the way and mentored these teenagers. And I mean, it was national news. It was international news in the region. It was a really big deal. And so it was really neat to see how God has just opened doors, of influence and impact and to really accomplish some of the things he's put on our heart to do. And so he's still involved with the center there, and now he's actually, one of the boys that was on his team is now mentoring a new project, or managing a new project. They're building an electric buggy, and he's mentoring this boy who's managing the project. And so it's continuing. And so God is doing some really, really neat things, and we're excited to see what doors he continues to open. So,
yeah. So, you know, as we move forward, we're leaving. This is actually our last Sunday here. So next weekend, I am at the men's retreat.
I'll be here, buddy.
And then they'll be leaving the Tuesday after that. And so we absolutely want all of your prayers. We people would say you covet your prayers, but that's kind of a weird word. But we love the spiritual support and the sending power that all of you have in making things happen. And you're all a part of that.
Yeah, we can do a lot in the natural, but as we all know, it's the Spirit that moves mountains, and it's the Spirit that changes hearts. And in partnering with us in support and in prayer, you guys are a part of the most important work of what God is doing to this unreached people group, that most of the people could not turn to someone to learn about Jesus if they wanted to. And we're excited to be there and see what God is doing, and we so appreciate the support that you guys provide for that. And we feel very loved, encouraged, and you play a huge role. So we would love prayer for our family, that God would protect us in, you know, natural and spiritual ways as we're serving God. We would love prayer for the relationships that we're establishing in the community, because there's cultural differences, there's language barriers. You know, we're learning, but there's barriers to overcome, which God can do through prayer. And it takes a long time to establish trust and relationship in this culture. And so we're just believing for supernatural miracles. We're believing for the Lord to do things above and beyond what we could imagine in the natural. Right. So we really appreciate your prayers in all of that. So.
Wonderful. So that's something we wanted
Thank
to share.
You.
Could you just reach your hands out here? I want to pray for them as we send them out. Father, we just thank you for this team, this couple, Lord, born and raised in this house, and we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful and proud of them, Lord, as they are released to do the calling that you've placed upon their hearts. And as they fulfill this calling, Lord, we pray that you would open doors supernaturally. You'd open up doors that seem like there's no way they could open. There's not even a handle on it. There's not a lock on it. They don't even, and all of a sudden, it just simply falls down. We pray, Lord, that you give them favor, you give them wisdom, you give them understanding, and that, Lord, you'd give them the leading of the Holy Spirit, that they'd hear your voice, and they'd know exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to say it, and that many, many hearts of this people would be changed and transformed and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Help them as they mentor them, develop them, and transition them into the fullness of what the kingdom of God has to offer. We are so, so proud of them, and we thank you so much for them. Give them safety, give them protection, and give them anointing and favor by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for such faithful servants. We love them so much. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Really proud of you guys. You know, it's tough to uproot a family and go and live in another culture and realize, wow, this is hard. This is difficult. And so I thank him so much for doing that.